Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hello, everyone. It is Thursday night. Dave and Jim here, back with you for another episode of Keystone State Paranormal Society Presents Penetrating the Veil. I would first like to start off the show by saying we apologize for being a few minutes late. There were some technical difficulties we had to fight through, but we got it. So here we are, and for everyone that listens and everyone that listens and downloads the podcast, a very special episode tonight. Happy birthday to my co-founder and my father-in-law, Jim Wyrick.
Yeah, too old.
So tonight we don't have a guest lined up because we just wanted to have an episode where it was just Jim and I, and we were going to play some EVPs, but we wanted to spend some time detailing how we perform an investigation, our style of investigation. You know, when we first started this, we were shown by some very educated people, some people who are really in the know in the paranormal field, how they ran an investigation. We kind of mimicked it for a while, you know, because that's what we knew. And over the years, we tweaked and we
I think most paranormal groups develop their own style, keeping in mind certain principles that they key into everything, and what works for one group may not work for another without compromising
right. The
integrity of the investigation. That said, I guess we start off, matter of fact, we had a referral just the other day.
Yes, we did.
Someone sent us a very interesting clip. This was a home in southern Maryland, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2.5, maybe even 3 years ago, we first got a referral on this home. They were having a lot of activity going on. A lot of it involved some kinetic activity with the doors and cabinets opening. They even came home one time and found a number of knives and other implements laid out on the counter.
Right.
And, of course, that's pretty much upsetting to anybody. As we were starting to plan on doing an investigation, the activity really quieted down.
Right.
And so we had made a determination to leave sleeping dogs lie, and so we did not do an investigation at that time. We had done some of the preliminary work. And evidently, that family, though, from that point on has ran some cams and monitors and that just to see what goes on. And there's occasionally activity, but it hasn't got to any kind of crescendo. So evidently the other day, this person had something going on in the room of their son, and it was disturbing, a voice and whatnot. So obviously I can't go into any details in this, a private residence, but typically as we get that first call, and if they have any kind of evidence or stuff they want us to look at, Dave and I will, of course, look at that. And then we have a number of people who assist us behind the scenes on a lot of things. Of course, we have some sensitive mediums. We also have people from other paranormal teams we can call on and get their opinions on the evidence. So generally it's a groupthink type of thing. And the sensitives we work with, I'm going to put a real shout out for them. They're just some very talented, amazing people. And they give us a pretty good picture of what's going on, what we're actually looking at. From that point, we'll do some history and try to determine if we can find out anything pertinent to the land or the home or things like that. And then we generally arrange initially a walkthrough where we'll go down with some very select pieces of equipment. We'll see if we can pick up energy fields. We'll do the outlay of the land to see if there's any radio wave transmissions or infiltration from power grids
right.
that might be influencing the area.
Or sometimes it's just as simple as, you know, one of the things that they'll say is happening is we go down to the basement to do laundry, and I always feel paranoid down there, like I'm being watched. And we'll go, and we'll discover that there are breaker boxes down there, and the panel is wired terribly, and they need to get an electrician to come in, because poorly wired homes give off high EMF. High EMF is commonly known to give off the sense of paranoia and the feeling that you're being watched.
It can be influenced. So then part of our initial presentation to the area in that is an interview with the people involved, and to get help us get a good read on them. They might give us some details of their background, and Dave and I are looking for certain key indicators or points. One thing I think that's critical in all of this, we really don't go in with any mindset. We're not in there to try to find necessarily proof that something's going on,
right.
or figure out that the people are flawed or whatever. We try to go in there on a pretty much neutral basis, even though we've done some homework before we present ourselves.
Right.
And we sort of let the experience take us in the various directions. As anybody who's listened to us before knows me, prayer is a part of my life. I'll even have a prayer about where we're going, and I like the Spirit to sort of guide me as to whether or not what the situation is. And I have, at times in the past, been told that I cannot go in certain situations and arenas. And
unfortunately, I don't get that same message. It wounds up costing me usually.
Yeah. So there's a lot. That's the pre-work we do. The big thing in there is, I guess, one thing I found out through some of my investigations and the readings and some of the pioneers in this field is our own critical think can often influence how the spirits may or may not relate to us or what we might find. Troy Taylor, who tried to get a collaboration of these groups together a number of years back, really fascinating guy, and he really looks at these things with a critical eye. And in that, he actually showed me some interesting works where back then when we were using the original Ovalis machines, he showed me some interesting work that strongly suggested how our mindset can affect the Ovalis, almost like a random number generator in a casino or a slot machine.
Right.
So there's a lot of factors at play that oftentimes are overlooked or maybe we really don't take into consideration. But we try to basically approach it with a neutral basis and let the evidence or let the experience take us where it may. I think lately, Dave, both of us feel that we've become much more in tune with the spirit world.
Yes.
I know I've been doing some work, sort of experimenting around with a little remote viewing on my own and come up with some interesting things that later were verified. In addition, thanks to a number of, again, just great and gifted individuals who work in this field, they've really helped me be aware of certain talents that I have as well as you, and I've been employing a lot of things to try to hone in on those. And one thing we never take into account is that, and we've talked about it on a sort of a disenfranchised level is the chemistry of the group. If you go in there with some portions of your group have some preset ideas or whatever, it can really influence the investigation far more than what you might expect. It could actually be a major barrier to the spirits coming out.
Correct.
And connecting. And of course, that doesn't do anybody any good.
No. That just hampers the entire thing. It really does.
And then on the other hand, you can't really go into it figuring that every little bump or bang or something is a ghost trying to contact you. So you do have to apply a reasonable amount of skepticism in anything and let what you hear and what you feel and what you see and what your instruments sort of take you there. And then, of course, we're always looking for confirmation. We may be picking up on something specific, and we're always looking for whether it's a sensitive or medium that's working with this, or whether it's some instrumentation or a REM pod. We're looking for that confirmation on what we might be experiencing. And lately, I have to tell you, I just feel very confident in operating the ghost box and getting some, what I consider, some rather clear messaging and speaking with the spirits. So all of those things factor in. When we do the initial walkthrough, we'll take our impressions and we discuss it, see what we think, and then normally, if things dictate it, we'll do a follow-up full investigation where we come in with the team, instrumentation, and in all of this stuff, of course, trying to be open and honest with the people you're dealing with, whether it's a private home, trying to allay some of their fears, and of course, we relay everything on with a sensitive nature. I don't think we've ever had a situation where we felt the family was in any kind of imminent danger or stuff from what we...
Well, we had that one incident where they thought they were, but then once we did the investigation,
right,
we found out what was going on.
Right, and so we'll be open and frank in discussing that with them. A lot of times there's sensitivities here, especially if family's involved. Oftentimes, if it's a parent and the kids are involved with something, the parents may not be aware of something maybe the child's doing.
Right.
Or some kind of behavior. So there's a lot of factors that key into this, and it's hard to generalize. Every investigation sort of is its own unique creation. But in that, there's sort of precepts that we try to follow and go through so we can more or less check off the boxes and mark things down.
Right.
So we don't have an oversight. And we're really not in... We're really in there to try to connect with the spirits and get some understanding. And oftentimes this might involve working with the spirits to help them out. This is not a quest just to get a neat picture or get a neat sound bite. But we both, Dave, and I think I'm speaking for you when I say this, we both, through our many years here, realize the humanity involved.
Yes, absolutely.
Whatever the spirit is, whatever it is altered to, for the most part, we are dealing with individuals that had a mortal existence that have since passed on, whether they've crossed over or not. The situations might be changed. Sometimes you encounter a tortured soul. Sometimes you encounter a spirit that has left a lot of unfinished work, and it might be binding it to this realm. So we try to work on both halves. Obviously, with any kind of problem, there's not necessarily always a cure. But with a collective effort and employing a lot of talented individuals, I think over the years we've had some really neat successes where we've been able to move things on or bring out some information that's turned really valid and assisted and helped the family that caught us initially or whatever it was.
Right.
So there's a lot of factors in this. One thing, I'll sort of jump in here. I'm going to type something on our website, on our Facebook account, and we'll talk about the website here in just a little while.
Yeah.
But as anybody who listens to me knows that I'm sort of a historian involved with this field, I do go back and read the text and some of the works of the early pioneers, and it's just amazing. There's been some incredible scientists over the years who worked in this field, and this is not a new text. I'd like to read this excerpt from, this actually dates back to 1930. There was a rather gifted medium at that time named Suzanne Max, and actually in an article that was published in 1936, she was getting messages from the other side. And this particular message was actually dated February 2nd of 1930. And I'm going to read this from the text it came from. And she said, "We will be able to impress," this is talking about the early phonographs and the early recorders, "we will be able to impress the rolls of the phonograph through the vibrations of our waves." This is the spirits talking to Suzanne.
Right.
"In this form, our thoughts will be captured, as are the sound waves of human voices that you nowadays record. Once recorded, our vibrations will be totally identical to those produced by the human voice," and they referred to this work as adaptation. "The waves emanating from the entities do not possess the same tones as those produced by a human voice box. A very refined product that will be impressed with extreme ease will therefore be necessary. This," and this is in 1930, "this invention is not yet ready, naturally, but it is also already under study in some superterrestrial worlds." And then there was a further comment on this from a researcher, Meek, in 1987, who stated, "Similar information on the future electronic communication has been received through other reputable mediums in other parts of the world." So we see that even going back to 1930, the spirits are more or less communicating with mediums at that time, or sensitives, to more or less lay out what we sort of now know is with all the advanced electronics, radio waves, all the various aspects. They knew even back then that this was going to be their junction to connect with this world, and they talked of such. And if you'll look at a lot of the pioneers of today, they're getting communications, so they say, from the other side to how to build these various things.
Which is where, I'm not going to toss any names out, but at least one person that we're familiar with, by name anyway, said that he had gotten the instructions to build his portal or box or whatever it was that he had.
Now, and just sort of an aside, we're not using these processes now, but to show how far back this goes, there was actually a book written, and it was called describing ITC phenomena. It was parapsychologists David Scott Rogo and Raymond Bayless. And it says they extensively describe another form of ITC phenomena, the phone calls from the dead.
Yeah.
In their book with the same title, 1979, Phone Calls from the Dead, which I have. And without going into the details of their impressive work, it says that indeed, it seems to be a fairly common occurrence. The last chapter of the book is dedicated to the electronics contact with the dead. And in researching this work, now unfortunately this work was all done in English, so this takes apart a lot of the European investigators and doesn't include their great works. But they start with a David Wilson, who was a London solicitor and an amateur wireless operator. Wilson already reported some of his experiments that seemed to yield coherent messages to the March 1915 issue of Life.
Wow.
These were transmitted through the Morse alphabet, and he continued publishing some of the results in the issue of Light, some of which involved the presence of reliable witnesses. Scott Rogo and Bayless affirm that there were many similar instances published by radio operators who believed that they had received communication from the beyond during the early years of telegraphy.
Telegraph.
So this even precedes. That's right.
Wow.
This precedes
the. This is prior to Western Union.
But this is what. But one of the most concerted efforts to achieve purely instrumental contact with the dead was carried out in Holland by a Dr. J. Maltla, M-A-T-L-A, and a Dr. G. Zaubert, both trained physicists who initiated their research in 1904.
Wow.
Turn of the century. According to Rogo and Bayless in their book, Le Mystery de la Mort, The Mystery of Death, they reported their successful and consistent results to contact the dead through their ingenious and complex devices they called the mammometer and a later one that they named the dynamograph. They reported that this machine was often left in an empty experimental room, and yet it would type out meaningful communication even when the scientists were totally absent from the building.
Hmm.
One of Dr. Malta's most interesting conclusions is that the very element of our personality that survives death is partially electrical in nature and has an affinity for manipulating electrical energy. If we compare this affirmation to more recent works that have been done in the 70s and 80s, we find that in those works they talk about bodies, this is that have, you know, passed into that
right,
other realm,
right,
are made, seem to be made of some kind of electricity, and we wonder about this remarkable coincidence. So this is certainly nothing that just cropped up.
Right, right.
We're carrying on work that was
over a century ago,
and we're just now getting to the point with all the various ghost boxes and with the sensitivities of recorders like Tascam and the various things that have come before. Think of how many varied ghost boxes we have.
Yeah.
This is, I really think we're sort of in the golden age of ITC communication. And there's some very gifted people who have put together some marvelous pieces of equipment that we're even just now starting to fully appreciate and be able to use. And certainly Dave and I here at Keystone State and our friends and mediums and team members, we're anxious to bring you that evidence as we get it. So anyhow, I won't bore you with any more readings or that, but just wanted, a lot of people are unaware that this is not a recent phenomenon. This has been going on through many different mediums for well over a century, and a matter of fact, the one guy who I love to talk about a lot was Dr. Rowdy Vate.
Right.
He has over 70,000 EVPs categorized and set down. And a lot of these are on record. They were passed through a number of scientific research groups and stuff, and they still exist. I'm actually in the process of trying to obtain a couple of them from some of the paranormal think tanks that exist and that have those. So if we're able to get a couple of those, we'd certainly love to play them for everybody.
Absolutely.
But a
part of that you just read really resonated because it's, if I remember hearing correctly, you said it, that the body is made of energy and that energy, when you pass over, when you cross over, likes to manipulate that energy.
And it's not destroyed.
Right. Well, that goes back to high school science. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It only changes form.
That's right. We're into the laws of physics, Newton.
Right.
And I'm not saying that all the physical laws that pertain here in this dimension might pertain in the other. We don't know that yet. I haven't encountered any specific talks on it, but
we'll
that's some of the
stuff.
It's not necessarily, I guess for a lot of people, it's certainly not sensational.
Right.
But to me, that's really the crux of the matter. That's some of the work I do sort of behind the scenes and myself trying to communicate with the spirits and trying to get some affirmation of what's going on over there. What are the laws and the rules and how
is... It goes back to, like you said, before we conduct a formal investigation, we try and get some history of the location, try and get as much detail about the events that are going on at the location from the owner or the resident who lives there or the building owner, the manager of the company, whatever the case is, and we send this information to our mediums and our sensitives who do a remote view so we know what we're walking into. Well, it's the same thing.
Yep.
We're trying to get as much information from the other side so when it's our turn to go there, we're prepared. We know what we're walking into.
They're tapping into an energy.
Yes.
And they have, evidently something within their makeup, their chemistry, whatever, is proper that they can do so. One thing I will say that has changed, as you do this reading of the early researchers, back then people would pretty much call you a nut. And there were a lot of people who were very, when they first entered into this, were very well established, very well thought up in the scientific community. And this tells me there's something behind all this, because a lot of these people were actually, you could almost say, a martyr.
Yeah.
They actually had their careers, their reputation, whatever, destroyed, and yet they were so fascinated by what they were after and the communication that didn't matter. They were after, I'm going to say the truth. They were trying to discover that great mystery that man has through the ages.
Right.
There's even, and it hasn't been substantiated, but I actually came on readings which showed that some ancient Chinese cultures used a form of sticks, I'm thinking dowsing rods, to do communications with the dead. It was part of their rituals.
Right.
And they actually, I forget the name right now, but so again, this goes back through the ages, but some of these people in the turn of the century actually sacrificed a great deal to continue this work, and so many of them.
But obviously, post-mortem now, they're getting their due reverence.
And this is, well, I'm glad you said that. There's actually some of those pioneers who have now on the other side, and they're communicating, contacted back. And these are some of the mindsets that are, in theory, and I do believe there's something to this, telling the investigators of today how we contact them.
Right.
Something that's
a
reliable source.
They're giving us a blueprint.
They're giving us a blueprint. They truly are. And, again, these people, once they got into this, they were relentless.
Yeah.
Mounties, I can't even imagine 70,000 EVPs categorized. And he went to painstaking efforts to dictate each word.
Because
right,
this is
up.
Prior to the computer, so it's not like he could just type it in and save it. This is thousands and thousands of chronicled pages of handwritten notes.
It is. And it's from scientists, from anything from medical doctors to physicists to psychiatrists. I mean, these are men of letter from many different fields.
Two of the greatest inventors of their day, Edison and Tesla.
Yeah.
And they spent a large chunk of their adult life focusing on exactly this.
So, if nothing more, by whatever exposure we get, hopefully I'll be giving due to some of these great pioneers and their efforts and helping other people know of them,
right,
and what's going on,
and you
maybe one of them will feel.
You think of, well, that's what I was just going to say. You think of it this way: whereas you were so inspired by their works, and you've taken up on your little quest here to advance that as much as you can. Maybe someone hears this show or watches our Facebook Live show every other Thursday, or checks out our website and sees some things, And guess what? 20 years from now, that person is going crazy doing what you're doing,
yeah.
trying to advance where you left off, you know? And that's what it's all about, man. It's taking the people before you, paying their just due for them, and taking their stuff and going as far as you can with the new technology that they weren't privy to.
And that's one of the things on a sort of a personal note. Of course, none of us know whatever the future holds, but I've always had sort of a belief that, you know, I've got so many years in me, and I got to tell you, obviously the Lord will determine that, but
Romy, let you start this one off today, so.
Yeah, I don't have an endless number of years laying before me, so if I can advance this work and get someone else maybe be that inspiration or get someone else interested and involved, and they start to sit down and realize, hey, this isn't a bunch of crap.
There's something to this that'll
happen. I mean, it really is something to think about. And we know, I think we can experience that we can assist the other side of the veil.
Yeah.
We have, from our mortal sphere, we are working with limitations, but there's certain things we do have an advantage of, and so we can certainly offer prayers and assistance and some insight
and
to the other side. And
whereas before, we'll use the Civil War since we've been hot on Gettysburg with the bash coming up in a couple months. A soldier from Tennessee dies at Battle Gettysburg. Well, how long does it take for his family to receive word? You're months, if at all. Now, it's as simple as it's a phone call, or it's a text message, or it's an instant message, you know? So, you know, the way that we can take this information that we're learning, and like we had discussed on our last show on, I think it was the show 2 weeks ago, was these spirits, they have limited energies. Now, we do what we can with EM pumps and infrasonic sound generator to try
and that's another part of the technology
to boost that energy.
Helps. Yes.
But as we were saying, you know, a lot of people do an investigation and they don't hear anything coming from their phasma box or the REM pods aren't lighting up or anything. Well, you may be asking the wrong questions and they're not going to waste that limited energy talking about, you know, can you knock and respond to me? It's they've got a message to tell you, and until you get on the subject that is what they want to discuss, they're not going to waste that limited energy they have. So, so as that turns from their point of view to us, it's so much easier now for us to supply them with extra energy through these devices that they can use. We can get these messages that they're desperately trying to send to us. And who knows, by taking that message of, I'm okay, I've crossed over, whatever, tell my wife, or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be, we get that message out on the internet, on your website, on your radio show, your podcast, whatever. Now that spirit doesn't need to be there anymore because they know that message has been passed to where they wanted it to go, and they can go enjoy their eternal afterlife.
Yeah. I'm going to take a break from what we've been talking about here, and I just want to do a couple shout-outs here.
Okay.
Over the last couple weeks, of course, last week we had Cisco Murdoch on as a guest, and then we did a back-to-back where we were her guest the following night. What an absolute delight. Cisco's just an amazing woman with so much experience, stories. I really feel a kindred spirit there. I think we connect on so many planes.
And off the tails of that, obviously we need to thank Live Paranormal because without having met Rob and Nikki from Live Paranormal, the exposure we've gotten through them, through their Facebook page, through their blog, talk radio, and the Facebook show we do off of the Live Paranormal Facebook page, we never would have been...
And we'll talk about it in just a couple minutes, but then Rob has created our web page.
So our web page is up now. It is up and running. It is still under construction. It's kind of a build-as-we-go type of scenario. Jim and I are feverishly working through video clips and audio clips to post onto the evidence page under the different investigations we've done. Rob is in the process now of finalizing putting our team bios on, and I know Haley's listening. We're waiting to get her bio and her picture so we can post that up on there. And then
hopefully,
we're going to be adding tabs to it. Hopefully we can...
we'll have a spot there where people can ask questions.
Questions
contact,
and contact for Haley and for Janet Jones,
for Janet,
our other medium friends.
For us,
absolutely. We'll post upcoming investigations, upcoming appearances at Paracons and fundraisers and things of that nature.
So it is a work in progress,
yes,
but you can access it now and start looking at some stuff. And we should be pretty much, Dave's taking a couple days break here. His older brother's getting married. But throughout the check back, throughout the week, we'll be putting more and more stuff on. So, you know, and Bob and Nick, you're just great. I got to go out, what was that, Tuesday they were over, or Wednesday?
Tuesday night into Wednesday.
Yeah, they come over to show us, I guess, some access and how to work with the page. And then, as it turns out, Farnsworth House got open. So I got to go over there.
And we've already put some of those on our Facebook page.
Put a couple on. I haven't even got into the Tascam clips yet. So
right.
That was just the Panasonic clips, and I'll be posting that. So can't say enough. It's just a real – I love being with them, and they're
and if you want to check that site out, it is www.keystotheunknown.com. Keys to the Unknown, all one word, keystotheunknown.com. We're going to be adding some headers to that as far as we'll have a section, like Jim said, where you'll be able to almost kind of like a message board or a forum board where you can send messages or leave questions for Jim and I or Haley or Janet. And we're hoping, as soon as Rob gets some time to give me a little more instruction, that we're going to take these podcasts, not only are they on iTunes, but we're going to go ahead and find a way to post those on the site as well so you can click on there and listen to them. For those of you who don't have access to iTunes, we will take our Facebook shows that we do the Thursdays opposite this one, and we will embed them in there as well. So that'll be kind of a show page. And, of course, like I said, we'll have a page where it's, you'll be able to find where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing, where we're going to be investigating, all that stuff. So it's really coming along quick. The bare bones of it was fantastic. Rob did a great job, and we're hoping to just
and then
take it to the stars.
I want to throw out another name. This lady, from what I understand, lives in Washington State, so she's on the West Coast. We haven't had a chance to meet her. But I think she was the one who listened to our broadcast and got in touch with Cisco.
Correct.
And that's a Tammy Knighton.
Right.
Who's also quite a gifted, sensitive medium. And we've had some communication back and forth messaging. And I really want to thank her for listening and for keying in. And also, thank you for, we have a number of people who are regularly checking in and that, and just want to thank you all.
Sheila and just a lot of these, I guess, return customers, if you want to call them that.
And then of course, we have Pam and Steve.
Gettysburg
Barry
Ghost Exchange.
Gettysburg Ghost Exchange. Matt just got his...
Arcam.
I think he's been doing some cemetery investigations.
Right.
They're an excellent means of obtaining some of these pieces of equipment, and you can talk to Steve directly about the equipment, and he's worked with just about all of it, so he can give you some insight on that. So they're just a great couple, and they've been very, very nice with us and assisted us on
and
so
of course
many
Eric and Kendra who are with
group.
Them.
They're
fantastic. And you got Mike Simpson, you got Lola Carter, you got Kristen Lee from the Bel Air House.
Going into
Mike Couch, who owns the Rhodes Hotel, who I've actually never had a chance to meet. The one time I did get out there to investigate, he was away at a fundraiser for his if you've never heard of this, this is fantastic. Mike Cash owns the haunted, very, very haunted Rhodes Hotel, which I have had a chance to get to.
And that is where? Just
that is in Indiana. What's the name of it?
I wasn't there.
I cannot remember the name of the town. But it's the Rhodes Hotel. It's in Indiana. Let me see. But what he does is the money he makes from people coming in to do investigations is he uses it to further his charity, which is Lost Limbs Foundation, and they supply prosthetics for children who have lost limbs, arms, legs, things like that. Mike himself is an amputee as well. Atlanta, Indiana, that's what it is. So again, I never got a chance to meet him, but I know he does wonderful things, and his place is great. Will and Libby, who we've investigated with a couple times from Soul Society Paranormal Group. Will's a demonologist. Libby is a bit of a sense of herself, and we've investigated a couple times with them. Steve Hummel from Moundsville Penitentiary of the Afterlife.
I want to get him back on again.
I mean, we've just been opened up to so many people, so many great people who have really assisted us in getting that flame reignited, and it's networking in the best way. It's just really great. Flip Sears, who's a friend of Pam and Steve, who helped me took my original design for our T-shirt and just ran with it
We really feel very blessed and fortunate to have come in contact with so many very kind and open people. Nobody in this group is out there trying to really sell a book or anything.
No, it's all
make
the
a
curiosity.
Show. It's really like just the curiosity and trying to work with it. So I want to thank all of those. We're going to play a couple. We're sort of running out, so we'll play a couple short EVPs tonight. Mm-hmm. Want to mention one thing, but our next formal investigation, and it's all confirmed, everything's down, will be July 27th and July 28th. I believe that's a Friday, Saturday.
Yes.
We'll be doing a live broadcast from the Bel Air House with Kristen, with Mike Simpson, and I think our sensitive Haley's going to be with us.
I can't wait to get her to the Bel Air House.
And I've convinced Dave to run a communication center, so we'll actually...
So I've got the duster out, and I'm dusting off the old DVR system.
So we'll actually have some cameras going, and for the live feed that night, you'll be able to see on the communication screen. We'll take the big screen up, too, and you'll be able to see, like, what the cameras are picking up. And last time we did it, I mean, it was a little crazy. Stuff was going on in about half of the areas. So we'll actually have that for the live broadcast if you want to put it down and join us, and we'll post the times for that. Yes. On our site and on Facebook. So we're going to play a couple EVPs here before the show's done. And hopefully y'all enjoy these. Let's go first here to 90. It's nightly. It's the Keeley Mansion. It's listed as 091F.
Right here.
Right. Okay. These are all short ones.
Okay. So here we go. EVP from the Keeley Mansion.
John, here's the John bag.
So now the first part I couldn't make out. The second part, it sounded like it says, "That's all of it."
That's all. Yeah, that's what I heard. That's
okay.
All of it. And then finally we did get a name out of it. So,
which was kind of hard to come by. They didn't really want to identify.
Okay, and the next one here, and again, this is from the Keeley. This will be 91C.
Okay. This one?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, again, what happened, we were having difficulties with the camera shots. That's Nikki, you hear. and she's sort of explaining to Rob where, and then I heard in there, if you listen, it's sort of a little echoey, and I tried to knock it out, but I heard a voice say, it's how you frame it. So they're actually sort of commenting on Nikki's camera thing.
Let's try that again.
Try that again.
Two cameras.
Yeah, so she's talking about it.
But it's quick.
It's
how
quick.
You frame it.
It's how you frame it.
It wasn't drawn out like it's how it was.
Right.
It's how you frame it.
Okay, and again, this was from that same night at the Keeley, 91D.
Okay.
How long have you been at this house? Do you like the current owner?
How long have you been at this house? And at 97?
Something.
I thought it said something like that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the like current owner, yes.
Yes.
How long have you been at this house? Do you like the current owner?
Is it going on to 37?
Seven, yeah.
Then
this one I had, I played B. This is Bel Air House now. BH5. This was a knock response.
Okay.
I guess somebody's asking for a knock and we got it.
They're around us. I'm going to try to find a safe spot to knock on the wall where I'm not knocking a mirror or anything. I think I have somewhere right here. So what I'm going to do, and we're just looking for some type of intelligent response, I'm going to do a knock, and if you can finish the knock, or if you can make any type of noise, we would greatly appreciate it.
It mimics his knock twice.
That's Mike Simpson. I was asking for the knock, and yeah, you hear it chipping away. Okay, this is also at the Bel Air House, BH7.
Okay.
Now, that was the night we had the big storm. Remember, we had really, and it's raining. Play it again. See, I'm hearing, it's raining.
See, now I'm hearing, hey, it's Peyton.
Okay, well, I'm hearing the rain.
I do see in a nutshell.
Yeah.
You know, people hearing different things. You heard one thing, I heard another. My ears are keyed to a different frequency than yours.
Now, this one is, again, Bel Air House. Go to BH9.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you pay? What did you hear on that one?
I hear him saying, he's not real, he's dead.
Yes. Yes. Now, the other thing that might...
At first, I thought it said he's not really dead, but then
really
there's such a pause.
Completely. I hear, as I listen
but
to that, I hear...
When
couple,
I hear it,
yeah.
I hear he's not real, he's dead.
Yeah.
So, we had come in contact with a male spirit, and a female came in to tell us he's not real, he's dead, in case we didn't know.
And we'll play one more here. This is BH12, again, from the Bel Air House. Have it there? I guess I forgot to put that through. It's excuse me.
That's you have a 13.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Bel Air House. Excuse me, and then it sounded like it says move
okay,
twice.
Okay, well,
let's
try
this again.
Am
I already hanging out?
Move Yeah, okay.
And then you get the...
For Sean, Indian friend, can you knee me? Could you turn the light on if you can knee me? Can knee me?
Yeah.
Yeah, move or something.
Move or something.
It looks like we actually have a caller.
Huh.
Okay, let's see. Hello, you're on with Dave and Jim at Keystone State Paranormal Society.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, okay. I had a question. Since last summer, I've been feeling a cold swirling wind starts at my feet and covers my head up to my head, and it's pretty cold. And even if I have an electric blanket in the winter time, I could feel the breeze still engulfing me like I'm in a vortex type of thing. What could that be?
That could be any number of things.
Now, was this a one-time experience, or is it something that...
No,
you've...
it's not. It's not a one-time experience.
Okay. And can I ask you, like, how long you've been in your place of residence? Is this...
Oh, I've been here forever, but it started last summer in a really warm day. I'm sitting outside, and I noticed that I was feeling pretty cool, you know, like so hot outside, but yet I feel like AC's around me, you know. And then it kept, you know, it happens, comes and goes, and sometimes I'm laying in my bed during the winter time, in my blanket because I feel so cold. So I bring the heat up on my blanket, and I can still feel the cold breeze, and it just starts from my feet. It begins at my feet.
When the other side is around us, that cold is very penetrating. Had you lost anybody significant in your life, any period, say within
Yes, I lost my son. I lost my son. 3 years. August.
Tell you what, How long had your son been gone before this experience started?
Well, 2 years.
Okay, because there's sort of, generally there's sort of like at least a year, let's just say settling period, where they're addressing the business of being over there, coming to an awareness. I'll tell you if you would message us on our Facebook page, Keystone State Paranormal Society, if you would message us, we'd be more than welcome to have one of our sensitives get in contact with you and see. They get get a strong impression of exactly what you're dealing with. This my original, as you're telling me, I truly believe it's your son. Have you noticed things around the house that might move? I mean, like maybe you put your keys in a place
not so much move, but I've seen lights turn on my room and off.
Okay.
I've seen my phone turn, you know, like it's ringing, but there's no one calling me.
If you get a little, small little notepad or something like that, and as things sort of just hit you, I would write them down, like the date and the time. There are certainly times of the day that energies are strongest, and it's easier for them to contact us in those times.
To manipulate
these devices. Electrical devices are very much sort of an easy access to them. And one thing, I don't know if there's anything that specifically reminds you of your son, if it's a flower, a color,
a picture.
Just be aware of those kind of things that sometimes, suddenly you're focused in on. Oftentimes,
like if he had a specific cologne he liked to wear, you could be doing the dishes one day and just get a whiff of that cologne, and you know, something like that.
I lost a son too years ago, and he was an infant, and even though he was young, he was only 4 months, and so of course wasn't talking yet. But I know the color red excited him. There was something about the color red that you could see it in his face. And for a period after our loss, all of a sudden, I mean, it's just sort of like I was seeing red everywhere I looked. There also, a lot of times, and this comes up with a lot, pennies, like a penny shows up here, there, sort of like everywhere. I don't know what the significance necessarily of a penny, but maybe it's that old thing, penny for your thoughts kind of thing. They're the kind of little things that the other side manipulates. And when you feel it next time, if you try to
I'm
feeling it while we're talking.
There you go.
The cold breeze, the breeze that is swirling breeze is coming. It always starts on my foot, and then it just engulfs me. Sometimes my head feels like it's freezing, so I have to put a hat on in the middle of the
summer. He's caressing you.
Because he knows you're talking about him.
Wow, that's really pretty strong confirmation. I'm pretty certain that that's your son, and as you see it sort of go from the lower part up your whole body, that is an embrace.
Oh, very
that,
nice.
That is an embrace, hon, and I feel pretty. The fact that as we're talking about him right now, that happened. I mean, that's powerful. It really, truly is.
But if
he was 30 years old
when
he passed.
He was 30.
Yeah, he's 30.
Yeah.
Okay.
His,
so, like
birthday
you said,
is coming up this month. The 28th of this month is birthday.
There you go. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yep. It's all. Yeah. And like I said, what I would suggest is just keep a small notebook journal or something, and keep it by your nightstand at your bed.
Okay.
And sometimes he might even come to you in your dreams. And when you first wake up, you might have an imprint. You know what I mean?
If you
go about the day, you're going to forget it. But if you wake up sometimes and you have an imprint or a really strong dream, sometimes write it down while it's still there. And sometimes there's meaning in that.
Is there a possibility that sometimes I could dream of? I've had dreams of him, and but there always seem to be like a different town, a home, but we're all living together. Is there a possibility of a lifetime concurring with this lifetime?
You know, I would, on that one, I think I'd refer you to one of our sensitives. We're sort of running out of time, but what I would encourage if you would go to our Keystone Paranormal Society page. And it's Keystone, KeyStone, State.
Mm-hmm.
These are different words than Paranormal Society. If you'll go on Facebook and do that, we'll send just do a request for friend. We'll pick you up, and that way we can message you. We'll be private, and I'll get you in contact with one of our sensitives, and they can probably get a more in-depth read. They might even be able to describe your son. But I feel pretty strong that's what you're experiencing.
Okay, thank you. What's your name? I didn't get your name.
And this is my son-in-law, Dave.
Okay,
and
thank
one
you, Jim
we're
and Dave.
Signing off, we want to thank you for calling tonight, and please do that, and we'll get you in touch with one of our sessions. All right, you have a pleasant evening.
Enjoy your son.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It cut us off, so. But that's all right.
Wow. What a way to end
the
show.
Huh.
And what a show is with Jesus. Yeah. That is amazing. Is Haley on that? Oh, gosh, we forgot to get his name.
Well, but she's
we ran out of time, yeah. So, to let her know we're gonna, she's going to message us.
That's how I like it, man. Just go with the flow.
Yeah. Well, very good.